Tonight, I wanted to talk a little bit on how we can help encourage the youth or the young people at our congregation. And I think, and of course, you know, working with the youth the way I do, it's, you know, I see a lot of things that the youth are struggling with, and I'm not really just referring to here at this congregation, but I mean in general. Teaching at the college. This is a really interesting generation that we have, or at least that I see coming into the classrooms. And I want us to talk a little bit about how best we can help them and help them be successful in the church. Just the other night, I was telling my parents about a story of something that happened at a different church. Someone teaching a Bible class for the first time, and it didn't go very well because of the audience, not necessarily because of the person. And Mother, she said, it's no wonder that young people are leaving the church today. Now, I'm not suggesting that kind of thing happens here, but I think it is really important that we focus on trying to encourage the youth, help the young people as best we can, simply because the astounding truth is they are leaving the church today. This was a little while back, but I was having a conversation with a friend who is a little younger than me, but was talking about how at the congregation where he went to was renovating the youth room, and said he found a picture of the youth group when he was a teenager, and said he was the only one today that he knew of who is still going to church. And this was a very large youth group. So for us, we need to take extra care of our youth. We need to take care and make sure that we are doing what we can to make them want to stay involved, to help encourage them. Because, you know, we look around this room today, we are fortunate to have some young people in this room, but the majority is not. The majority of the people here are older Christians. And for the sake of the future of the church, we do need to make sure we are taking the effort to do the best we can with the young people while they're in our care. So how can we help the youth today? The first thing I want to say is that we need to make sure not to look down upon someone or dismiss someone because of their age. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll begin here tonight. And this is when Jeremiah was first called to do God's work. Beginning with verse 4, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send to you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Now, sometimes I think young people feel in a very similar way to what Jeremiah said. There are some things I can't do because I'm young. And sometimes there are people in the church who feel the same way toward those young people. There are some things they can't do simply because of their youth. And I think it's very important to note here that God chose Jeremiah. Not only did he choose Jeremiah, but we're told he was chosen when? While before he was even born. So I think we need to understand that God has plans for these young people, even if they don't know what it is, even if it's nothing like what they imagine. And I think it is important that we understand that we do have a responsibility to help them, to encourage them, and we shouldn't look down upon them. And that's something that Paul tells Timothy. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy, Paul is speaking directly to Timothy, and we don't know exactly how old Timothy is, but based on the text here, we do see that he is someone who is younger. How old, how young, we really don't know. But notice what he says. Let's begin with actually verse 11, and we'll read through some of these verses. He says, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by the prophecy when the council of the elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers." So Paul is telling Timothy what a great role he serves in this church. And even though he is someone who is younger, he still has the responsibility to do these things. He has the responsibility to be an example to the others. And in doing that, notice what it says near the end where I read, "You will save both yourself and your hearers." So it's one thing to tell the youth you need to be an example in these things. But part of our responsibility, and I know many of you have known me since I was 12 years old and probably still see that 12-year-old kid standing up here. But for us who are older than the younger ones in the church, it's our responsibility to also be an example to them. And Paul mentions here some of the ways Timothy was to be an example, and the same should go for us. Notice in verse 12, he says, we need to be an example in speech. We need to make sure that our speech, what we say, isn't something to that would give people a reason to think poorly of us. The same with our conduct, how we act, how we conduct ourselves in public. That's something they need to see. And unfortunately, sometimes the youth sees things that happens in the church, and that is a huge deterrent. I personally know people who left the church when they were younger because of certain events that happened at that church while they were there. And when you see a bunch of Christians behaving poorly, which I'm pretty sure all of us have at some point or another, it is such a discouraging thing. So we have that responsibility to be an example in conduct. We need to be an example in faith. And faith is something that grows over time. Faith is something that's going to grow in these young people. And we need to make sure that they see our faith and they see our faith grow and increase. And then also, we need to be an example in love and in purity. Those are also things that they need to see in us. Paul said, if I can speak in tongues and have all of these miraculous gifts, but have not love, I'm nothing. So we need to remember to be an example to the young people in these things. So we shouldn't look down upon the youth because they are younger. But we need to recognize that they serve a great role and a great purpose in this congregation. Secondly, something we need to do is we need to help edify and encourage the youth. Turn over to Acts chapter 15. Now, there was a little dissension that happened between Paul and Barnabas. And of course, Barnabas was Paul's original partner who went with him on his mission trips. And then, of course, Paul met many other people who joined him on his journeys, but Paul and Barnabas went first. But they had a little disagreement, and let's begin reading in verse 36, and this is in Acts 15. It said, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone to them with the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." Now, one thing we really don't know here, we don't know exactly how old John, who is called Mark, many times we refer to him as John Mark. We don't know exactly how old he was, but the assumption is this is someone who was a young person. And he clearly made a bad impression on Paul earlier, and you can read in Acts chapter 13 where he originally left Paul and Barnabas. And he did not want to take him with him. You know, the truth is, we don't know what happened. It's hard to say who's right, who's wrong, what should have happened in this situation, because we just simply don't know. But we do know that Barnabas was willing to give Mark a second chance, and Paul wanted to continue on. I think it's important for us to remember today that young people need encouragement, and young people, and even old people in here, we know this as well. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to mess up. And we are going to need people who are willing to step in and give us second chances, just as Barnabas was willing to do with John Mark. But still, it's hard to say exactly, you know, if there was a right or a wrong in this situation, because we don't know. But there is something we do know. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this would have been as Paul is essentially waiting to die. And he's getting ready to be killed. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's read verse 11. He's writing here. He said, "Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." So we don't know what happened, and it would have been years before. It would have been many years before between Paul and John Mark and Barnabas. And we don't know what caused this great dissension, but what we do know is somewhere along those years, Paul and Mark were able to reconnect. And Paul, at the end of his life, requested for Mark to be brought to him. Because, notice what he says here, he is very useful. So I think, in many ways, we can credit Barnabas for helping encourage John Mark during that time. And later, during Paul's life, he was someone who Paul deemed to be useful, and he called specifically for him. So yes, there are going to be times when we need to encourage the young people of the church. Sometimes they see things very differently than us, and sometimes we'll make mistakes, as we all do. And we need people to step up and be an advocate for them. Another thing we need to keep in mind is we need to give youth the opportunity to serve. But we also need to remember that they are not where we are in our Christianity. So we need to give every opportunity we can to allow them to grow, to build them up. Because as I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's the young people who we hope will be essentially the church in years to come. So we want to give them opportunities. And I have been to churches before, and I think this is a great benefit of growing up in a small church like I did. You're given opportunities in a small church. You're given opportunities to say a prayer, to read scripture, to wait on the table. All of those are opportunities I had when I was a teenager. But when I moved to a church that had 500 members, there were a lot of people who were my age who had never given a public prayer, who had never given a prayer for the communion, who had never given a prayer for the giving. So we need to give young people opportunities to do these things, because if we don't, then we're going to one day be in a room of people who may not know how to do those things. We need to teach them. We need to encourage them. And, you know, there are a lot of things we can do to help do that. And first of all, give opportunities. Give opportunities. And when those opportunities are given, we need to be encouraging to them, that because we never know who may be giving their first public prayer or who may be reading their first scripture in public. And I can assure you, if we are negative, then they're probably not going to want to do it again. So we do need to make sure we encourage them. We need to understand there are different levels of Christian maturity. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is something Paul is talking about. Now, granted, he's probably talking mostly about adults here, but the concept is true with our young people. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh." We would think it was ridiculous if we saw a mother trying to give her newborn child a piece of steak. We would be like, what is her problem? But the same is true in a spiritual sense, because we do have a lot of young people who we need to encourage, and we need to understand that what we're asking them to do, they might not be quite ready for. So it is important that we understand the different levels of Christianity and of Christian maturity. And it's also something we need to understand, that when we're talking about abilities that different people in the church have, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, the master gave the men talents according to their abilities. So we do need to make sure that we understand that they're at a different level. For example, we wouldn't go up to a brand new Christian and say, "Hey, the preacher's going to be out Sunday morning. I need you to preach." That's a tall ask for someone who is brand new to the church. And it's a tall ask for someone who has been a Christian for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 plus years as well. So we need to understand that there are different levels of Christian maturity. But we also need to understand that there are some things that the youth can do better than us. Now, I'm guilty a lot of times of thinking that there are things that only I can do and only I can carry out, and becoming a supervisor has helped me learn the necessity of getting other people to do things, simply because it's hard to do a lot of things myself. Sometimes we do have to delegate, but there are things that young people do better than us. One thing for sure is they definitely have more energy than we do. I can tell you that. Me and Mandy and Alan. Well, I'll tell you this. We went on our trip, on our youth seminar to Yes Weekend a few weeks ago. The week before, I left Friday. I drove to Indiana. I left Sunday afternoon. I drove back to Warner Robins. And then the next weekend, I came here, went to Valdosta. We stayed Friday night, Saturday. Came back Sunday afternoon. And I was more tired that weekend than when I drove 1,000 miles to Indiana and back. And young people, they can wear you out sometimes, to be honest. But you know one thing that's interesting? They do not wear out. They have a lot of energy. And we need to use that for our advantage. They get excited about things. They get super excited about things that, you know, we don't give a second thought. So we need to use their energy. We need to use their excitement. They have more time than we do a lot of the times. And, you know, I think about when I was a teenager, I did nothing. I had no obligations. I had all of the time in the world to do things. And so a lot of these young people, they have the benefit of time, where a lot of us, we lose that when we're working full-time jobs and have other obligations. They understand the current culture better than we do. It's hard to reach people if we don't understand. And it's hard to reach the youth if we don't understand them. But you know who does understand the youth and could be the biggest benefit in bringing other young people to Jesus? It's not us, it's them. And we need to understand that. They also are better at technology than we are. And technology is such a great way to reach people. And I'll tell you what, they know how to do a lot of things that I do not, and things that can certainly be used for the glory of God. So there's a lot of things that they can do, that they can bring, that sometimes we don't think of. And I think it is important that we understand the role they can play in the church. And then to the young people, I think it's important to say, don't make excuses when given the opportunity to do things. A lot of times when someone asks us to do stuff, especially if we're younger in the church, I think about me when I was younger. I was never asked to do anything someone didn't think I could do. And that's a hard thing to grasp sometimes. If you're a younger person, if someone asks you to do something and gives you an opportunity, like to say a prayer or to serve at an event that's having, I was never asked to do something that someone thought I couldn't do. If someone asks you to do something, it's because they think you are useful. It's because they think you can help. And we need to make sure we can help when given the opportunities. And I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of making excuses. And there is a very good chance every single person in this room is guilty of it as well. But when given the opportunity to do things for the cause of Jesus, we need to try our best to not make excuses and understand sometimes it does mean stepping outside of our comfort zones. And I believe I mentioned this a couple of weeks back, giving, you know, 9 lessons over the course of 3 weeks. I feel like I'm repeating myself like crazy. But one thing that's important for us to remember is that God does not like excuses. And when Moses was first asked to go to Egypt, what did he do? Oh, yes, please, here I am, send me. That's what I preached about last week, I believe. That's not what Moses said. That's what Isaiah said. Moses said, please send someone else. You know, I had several people who encouraged me to do things that I didn't think I could do, but they knew I was capable of it. And to the young people, if someone asks you to do something that takes you out of your comfort zone, that you feel like you can't do, oftentimes it's because they see that you can, even though you don't. So we need to try not to make excuses. And there certainly is a difference in being capable of doing something and not wanting to do something. When I think of young people doing things for God, I think of David. He was willing to do something that no one in the entire Israelite army was willing to do. And most people looked at this kid and probably thought he was going on a suicide mission, but he had God with him. People looked down upon him because of who he was. Even when Samuel was going to anoint a new king, he didn't think God would pick David. But God reminded him that he looked on the inside. He looked at the heart, not on the outward appearance. So we need to make sure not to make excuses when given the opportunity to do things. And then also to the youth, remember God today. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this is a verse we're all familiar with, but it says in verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." It's so important that we teach our youth young and that they remember God while they're young, because if they do something when they're young, you know what they're going to do when they're old? Probably the same thing. So it's important that to the youth to remember God today and keep God close today, keep his commandments, and try your best to do everything you can for the sake of God, for the sake of his church, the kingdom. Because one of these days the church is going to be in the hands of the people here who are younger. Either that or there will be no church. And it's important for us to understand the vital role that the youth do play. And I know I enjoy talking about how we can encourage the youth, how we can help the youth a lot. But that's what I have on my mind a lot, because I see a lot of things that you don't. I see a lot of things with the current youth group here that a lot of people don't see. I see the challenges that they face. I'm going to tell you what, it is tough being a young person in this world today. So much more than when I was a teenager. And it was pretty bad then. But there's just so many things that makes it really difficult today to be a young person. But if we have young people here who are wanting to come, wanting to be involved, then it's a great thing to see, because the church will be in good hands one day. So I think there are several ways that we can help encourage the youth tonight. We need to be a great example. We need to remember that. We need to be willing to encourage them. We need to understand. Sometimes we have to meet them at their level. Remember, we talked about this morning in John chapter 21. Jesus asked Peter two times, "Do you agape me?" And then the third time he said, "Do you phileo me?" Because Peter never used the word agape, but what Jesus did was bringing it down to his level. Sometimes we have to do that. And that's a great way we can encourage the youth. But I think for all of us, it's important to remember the need to keep them grounded in the things in which they should be grounded. That we need to remember, like was said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because if you do that while you're young, you're going to remember the Creator in the days that are not your youth. So let's remember these things as we move forward tonight and this week, and think of ways how we can encourage the youth. Tonight, if there's anyone here, we have one more opportunity. If there's anyone here who needs to obey the Word of God, or anyone who needs prayers of the church, we'd like to give you a chance to do that now while we stand and sing.